Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ to throw. Quick throw left side. Intercepted. Diving pick. And they got it at the 32-yard line. Davis with the INT. Jumped the route. And Detroit, just like that, is in Houston territory to start the third quarter.
Exactly.
One play in.
Yeah, it's exactly why I said earlier that you should go to some double move stuff.
All right, that was Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware, Heisman Trophy winner Andre Ware, who was did some good points there, Clint. And this is the time that we do this every week, and people on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line, as well as those on YouTube and Twitch, can chime in on this. And I see many of you have already. C.J. Stroud's grade. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? You can text in your thoughts on what his grade is. I'm seeing D-, somebody said F-, C-, someone said Champ Slice said he gets an A for the first half and an F for the second half, so it equals out to a C. C.J. Stroud, 19 for 33, 232 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. In the second half in particular, with a 23-7 lead, he was 4 of 12, 68 yards and two interceptions, no touchdowns in the second half. How would you grade C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday?
I'll go with a D. And that's only because the first half was so well executed. It was a thing of beauty there. But look, when you're a quarterback and you got a 23-7 lead, you got the ball coming out at halftime. Really, every time you touch the ball in the second half, any points it makes it exponentially more difficult for the opponent to come back, and you get shut out. That's a big time problem. You look at the interception coming out on the first play of the second half. It's a hard corner. We're throwing a speed cut out route. You know, that's just on the quarterback 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, he wasn't hiding. He was sitting right there.
Yeah, and you got to know, you've got to be aware. You know, at this point, you've eaten them up with quick game in the second half. Now, that there's a strong message from Gerard Johnson or Bobby Slowick, one of the two, that, hey, man, look, when we come out in the second half, their adjustment's probably going to be they're going to give us less cushion. They're going to squeeze down. They're going to tighten up this coverage pre-snap. They're going to force you to throw the ball over the top. So, you know, it's still quick throws, but we're going to work some of that high-low, the corners outside that are now going to be a little bit tighter. So be aware that these corners – And backers and safeties and everybody, they're probably going to jump some of the routes. So
you'd
be aware
shocked
coming
that
out.
Conversation was not had at the half.
Boy, if it wasn't had, it's criminal. I got to believe that was had, yes. You know, so the coming out interception is bad. That's double negative. That's not just interception at midfield. That's double negative. That's trying to give away. That's how you give away a lead. That's how you have a huge momentum swing, is in that part of the field you turn it over, right? And then you fast forward to the Tank Dell, wide open, in the end zone, you've got points. You've got 3 points, and you throw an interception when, the receiver was open, wide, like butt naked, wide open. for 3+ seconds for a touchdown. That's on nobody but C.J. Stroud. And, you know, so those two major, major mistakes, along with the expectations of, you know, we're not grading C.J. Stroud on a Davis Mills scale here. You're judging, you know, I'm judging C.J., grading C.J. Stroud on a top five quarterback in the NFL scale, and I think it was a rough day. So I'll go with a D, Ron.
Go with a D. Some others coming in. Stroud was solid, B minus to B plus in the first half. He was ass in the second half. Clint, I'm in the D range, and not just D for the grade, but that was very, very disappointing from him yesterday.
Yeah.
That performance was very disappointing. Now, listen, I'm not going to say that it was Will Levis-like, that he sucked all the way through. The first half, I thought he played pretty well, right? I think you know, the big touchdown at the end of the half that he gets and he fits into Mechie, I thought obviously was a great throw. There were a couple of early ones on third downs and longs where it's like, all right, hey, picked it up, made a big play, and made a good decision, didn't try to be a hero and let people run to get third downs. I think he put them in and helped put them in a great position along with the defense to win this game and be up 23-7 at the half. And Clint, this may be harsh to some, but I mean, it is hard for me not to point at a bigger reason of why they lost the game than C.J. Stroud. Expectations or not, if they don't turn the ball over, if he does not turn the ball over, they don't win the game, especially, or they don't lose the game, especially the second one, as you just talked about, just running wide open for long stretches, right? And yeah. and there wasn't real pressure, right, to get him. There was a defensive end running towards him, but he could set his feet, he could do all this and everything. He waited so long that made the defensive lineman have a better shot to distract him on the throw. That makes it 30-13. Not only did they not make it 30-13, not only did they not have a chance to make it 26-13 by kicking a field goal because they were in field goal range, it was a pick and just absolutely changed the game. Yes, there were other factors of why this team lost, but coming out, Clint, I know I said it up there, the only way the Texans really going to lose this game is they start making mistakes to help them. If they start making mistakes to help them, if this was not like any of these tip ones that maybe Jared Goff said he got away with, or a Hail Mary one that's an interception, these were just completely avoidable. As I heard Sean saying last night, sloppy turnovers. And I think the part when I say is disappointing as well, and Clint, I think there were opportunities. Clint, the whole time, Clint Tyler, I'm sitting there thinking, all right, here we go. It's 23-20. It's 20, like they're down through. All right, it's 23-23. Like, you need your big guy, your dude, to make a play. You need your dude to pick everybody up. You need your dude to fix this. You need your dude to come up with a big play. Got the ball, man. We're right here. We've crossed midfield. Make a play. And he just could not do it, Clint. Not at any moment. And we have talked about the company that we think that he may be in this year. Jared Goff? No, not even in the same company. You've talked about he's better than Josh Allen. You talked about he's better than Lamar. You talked about he may be up there with Mahomes. We've heard that conversation. Talked about all the players. He could not make a play, Clint. And he had the ball multiple times where you say, all we need is, can you tackle on a field goal? And then they're driving, and he could not make a play. Not all of it was on him. There was some protection issues, yes. But there were some opportunities too. Like, I mean, that part was disappointing and really surprising. That there's probably about three or four possessions when the Lions are coming, and just turn it, turn it, turn it. Hell, oh, one of them, Bobby said, man, I don't know if I feel comfortable. I gotta put it in Joe's hands.
Yeah.
For five straight carries. Because you just thrown two picks. Like that part was, and again, not saying that he's done or that he stinks or anything like that. Still believe in CJ Stroud. But that part was really tough to watch, to see that he just could not make the play or plays to get him there that we've seen him be able to do.
Well, we've seen the greats do it time and time and time again with their starters, without their starters, with great play callers, without great play callers, with you know, whatever. The fact of the matter is the offense was great in the first half. They struggled in the second half. You still got to the fourth quarter with a one-score lead. It was a one-score ball game. You got to the fourth quarter, literally late in the fourth quarter, with the opportunity to give your team a lead and make it put some serious pressure on a quarterback that it just wasn't his day in Jared Goff. And you failed miserably multiple times, as you said. Like, it was an opportunity for C.J. Stroud to re-emerge, if you will, as one of the better quarterbacks in the league and show why, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And there's no – look, I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. We don't need to – well, you didn't have this guy, you didn't have that guy, you didn't have this. That's fine, whatever. You just didn't get it done. The opportunity was there. It didn't get taken advantage of, and here we sit at 6-4, having lost three of the last four games. And you know, at a point where you got to stop the skid here. You got to stop the bleeding, man.
Someone text in, and I'm sure we got a little bit of time and a week to look at. And tomorrow, tape drop Tuesday, I'm sure we'll get some more. But from your
– wait to watch this one, boy.
People are texting in wondering from you, Clint, from your view, what did you see was the difference in CJ from half one to half two? What did you see? I just looked up there. They just put up the stats. Tyler, he had a QBR of one. In the second half, 38%.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest difference is he made some terrible decisions that were turnovers. I mean, that's, you can talk about Bobby Slowick all you want, but I mean, the one thing that you couldn't do in the third quarter to let the Lions back in this thing in the fourth quarter to make it a game was to turn the football over yourself, especially given the fact that he comes out and turns it over, and so the two piss poor decisions were unacceptable for any quarterback, but damn sure C.J. Stroud. In the second half, there's no doubt about it. The Detroit Lions, they tightened down their coverage and were trying to force them to throw the football over the top, knowing that in order to do that, it's going to take a little bit longer. So they have to try to protect, and they can't protect, which they showed that as well. I don't know how many, like, let's say mid-range game or progression passes that were called that weren't quicks or screens, but I'm willing to bet you that 30 to 40% of them you were pressured on anyway. So it was there. It was just being masked by the play caller, that all the pressure that we've typically seen. So, that happened. And then, you know, you look at the inability of Hutchinson to win in critical situations. You know, that was a – not being critical of Hutch, but it's just a reality of it. So I think there's something to be said about the guys that were missing.
I thought that was interesting. On two third downs, he was in that direction, in Hutchinson's direction, pretty quick.
I just watched that last one. I think he was working Schultz, and Schultz slipped on like a little pivot route. So he just came back to, because if he would have started out on Hutch, he would have hit him at the numbers and he was open. But he started out to the right side and came back across the field to Hutch. And by that time, the DB had already recovered and was all over his back. He'd already closed the ground between, you know, he was so close to the middle linebacker that the middle linebacker obviously came into play. Whereas if he would have started there, Hutch would have actually been open. But he started to the right side. And it looks like, you see it, like if you watch it, they keep showing the highlight of that last play. If you look at it on the bottom right hand of the screen, it looks like Dalton Schultz slips when he's trying to run like a little pivot route. And so that's why he came off. So if that is the case, add one more. And I don't know yet. We'll see. But add one more of your highly paid veterans that it's expected to be a game changer. Add the fact that he slips in a critical moment Which, look, a slip is a slip. It happens in football, but it's still a critical moment. It's still the inability to execute. And so add that to the list of veteran guys that didn't impact players that impact the game positively.
Yeah, there was that last third down on Hutch where, yeah, it didn't seem like it was his first read. But I remember another third down before there, a little deeper in. And we were like, oh, it's man across. And he went Hutch over Branch. I just wondered why. It was interesting that Tank may not have been the first place his mind thought to go on some of those.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly on that. I mean, like I've always said this, Ron. Like it's even if you're working with young quarterbacks, right? And you know when you come to the line of scrimmage, CJ, when you come to the line of scrimmage. So again, at halftime, right, Ron? We talked about it a while ago. Like if there wasn't a conversation, a very stern, matter-of-fact, CJ, look me in the eyes right now. I'm telling you what they're going to do. We just lit their ass up with the quick game. They're going to do everything they can to take that away from us. So be aware of that being a problem. And when we do get man-to-man, when we get cover one with a free safety or cover zero and we know they're bringing pressure, they're going to try to man us up, here's what we got to do. We've got to find Tank Dell. He's our man beater. Right, or whoever you, Dalton Schultz, whoever you want to designate as that man beater, it's damn sure not Hutch, right? So that should have been very clear that we're going to call quicks, and we're going to go to Tank Dell because he's the one that can create the separation. And here's how we're going to do it. It's very obvious, easy conversation. And if it's not Tank Dell, then it's some kind of pick concept where you're using two guys, you're using a concept to win instead of your best player to win. It's got to be one of those two. And you can't tell me that Hutch on a lazy-ass bang post over the middle is your best route, like you said, against their best DB who ought to be a damn all-pro player.
Yeah.
That can't be your best option. So, again, there's – and I don't know if that's lack of Bobby and Gerard coaching him or if that's CJ doing what – you know, giving CJ all the freedom to do whatever the hell CJ wants to do and he picks to do that. That's got to change.
Yeah. All right. Coming up as we continue, and there is some silver linings to the game. As difficult as it is, a loss, and I would argue maybe the most difficult loss in the D'Amico Ryan's tenure here in the last year and a half plus. There is some silver linings. We'll discuss those coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday right here on The Drive as the Texans take obviously a tough one. They've lost the last two, and they lose yesterday to the Detroit Lions, right? When you say it out loud, when you say it out loud, hey, man, how do you feel about the Detroit Lions? You think they're the best team in football?
I do, yeah.
Tyler, do you think they're the best team in football?
Right now today, yes.
Yeah, I think there are many people who believe that they are the best team in football, at least the top two team in football. And you got... No Nico, no Will Anderson. There is an argument, if you remove the quarterback, there's an argument. Those are your two best players on those sides of the field. Like they have, when they have played, Will Anderson and Nico Collins have played at all pro level. When they've been on the field, all pro level. Best at their position level, type of level they have played at. You lose them, you gotta shift around your offensive line, and now Jarrett Patterson is your center now, and Juice Scruggs, who you drafted to be a center, is now your guard. Like, you're doing all of that. And you go up against what you two just said, the best team in football, and you're up 23-7, and you end up losing at the buzzer, 26-23. Like, when you say it out loud with everything you're missing, you feel like, damn, all right. They competed. They look, but it sure as hell don't feel that way. It feels like the lowest point of the season for many. But Clint, I know as hard as it is, as you can watch it and kind of have to grow from this, there are some silver linings to what we did see last night.
Yeah, look, I think there's – I know nobody wants to hear about the positives after what the hell we watched yesterday on Sunday Night Football. But, yeah, I do. I think – and I'm going to start with the biggest topic, or at least the person that's involved in the biggest topic in radio in Houston, and that's Bobby Slowick. The plan was a huge step in the right direction. All I've asked for is a guy that – comes out and don't do the same stuff that you've been doing and expect a different result. Don't come out and continue to put CJ Stroud at risk and then point out execution and we're doing things right and this or that. Change what the hell you're doing. I specifically have been asking for more quicks, more screens, and a commitment to the run game. Right? We got every bit of it. Came out and he ran the football 6 of the first 8 snaps. He came out and there were quicks all over the place. There were screens all over the place. And it led to did they have a sack in the first half or were all of them in the second half? There were 4 overall. I think they may have had 1 in the first half.
But he certainly was not getting hit anywhere. It looked
not even remotely
better.
Close. The defense was absolutely ridiculously good. I'll say the whole game. They were turned over. Jared Goff, he threw 5 interceptions. He had thrown 4 all year long.
Yeah, well.
Turned him over 5 times. The defense had him uncomfortable all day long. You can say he missed a few throws throughout the game and a few open receivers because the pressure was turned up. The defense was really, really, really good against an offense that's as balanced as anybody in the league. And right now, after yesterday, because DeMeco held him down, I think he's now the second highest scoring offense per game behind the Baltimore Ravens. But it's still at like 31.8 or something like that. So still averaging 32 points a game. You held that offense to 23 points, which really 26 points with the last. 10-yard field goal, the 10-yard drive that turned into a field goal. Defense was really good against a top-tier opponent. And then the last one that I think is John Metchie stepping up. And I'm not even talking about the feel-good side of this thing, Ron, even though that is what we should lead with, to be honest with you. But he played well enough 2 of the last 3 weeks, and you can really even say CJ missed him on 2 throws last week that would have been probably 40-plus yards worth of catches and a touchdown. John Metchie played well enough yesterday, and if you watched it, not just look at the box score, but watched it, like he played really, really, like it's convincing. He's got a real chance here. I mean, he's got enough of a chance to where I say you get Nico healthy, you got Tank, Nico, and Metchie. He could fill that third receiver void, that Diggs void. I think he could fill it pretty damn well. If what we've seen recently is really him.
The Tank. Role of what?
Sure, whatever that would be. Yeah, the third best receiver. Yeah, that's the John Metchie thing is a real silver lining in this game. That dude coming into his own because he runs the slant route on like 3rd and 6 and keeps the drive alive. That was huge. It may have been the last drive.
That'll be one to watch on the tape on the All-22 to see kind of what he did.
Yeah,
because he seemed. Like especially when they were running, it looked like they were running zones, and he was finding really good openings and spots.
He caught 2 or 3 balls in traffic. He obviously catches the touchdown in traffic. I mean, there's just a that's the Texans need that more right now than they ever have because you get Nico healthy now. All of a sudden, you got Metchie coming. You've got a solid 3 with Hutch and Woods on the backside that can give you minutes. That's impressive. So I think there were some silver linings in this football game. Hard to talk about them, but they're there and they're real.
Yeah, I would agree. That last one you said, Metchie, probably because you may need him the rest of the way. There was no move made at the trade deadline. You've lost obviously Stephon Diggs, and you would hope that Nico returns next week. But you're going to potentially need somebody else to fill that void. And for him to step up, he led the team in receiving yards and caught the touchdown and everything. last night. That was big, and, well, and now you hope to see it continue.
You know, too, Ron, I mean, look, that's like they're, if they're going to play offense the way that they did last night, right? Which I would advise that they do. Then you need guys that can win right now in the quick game. You need guys that can block in the screen game. You need guys that can block in a run game. You don't need a guy that's going to take the top off the defense, right? I mean, you get Nico back, that's that guy. You get Tank rolling, that's that guy. You just need a guy that in a critical moment can go out there and run a slant versus an NFL DB and give you an opportunity, give you a chance. Don't signal the route. Like I mean, Hutch literally turned his blinker on that damn post right over the middle. Man. Hey, I'm finna ease over to my left right here, man. Jump this route and bat it down. I mean,
hey, Tyler, he did this.
Yeah, he gave the old hand
like
signal.
Riding a...
Yeah, I mean, it was bad, man. And you need a guy like Mitch that could do that beyond Nico and Tank in those critical situations. That's big, man.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, I do want to dive in a little bit more on that defense of performance, because we kind of glossed over a little bit. I want to dive a little deeper on that performance, because I think it's caused me to kind of rethink some things with the Texans. We'll discuss that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Goff with pressure arriving, throwing downfield, intercepted! Lassiter, his second of the game at the one. He dove into the end zone. Are they going to mark him out? In any case, it's another Texans takeaway. Their fourth of the night. It's got to be a touchback, right? He was untouched. What a diving effort by Lassiter.
Yeah, that was his second pick of the night. He is somebody also that the Texans are going to be looking at because he left the game with a concussion. At least was put in concussion protocol and never returned. But that was his second interception, the first one, the Hail Mary at the end of the half. He got that one, and then he made a hell of a play right there, Clint. That was a huge play in the game. CJ had just thrown the interception to open up the half. They had gone Lions pick, 12-yard toss to Montgomery right off the first two plays of the game, and it was like, oh, here they come. And then Lassiter, after, I think this was actually a pick that was on Jared. Some of the other ones, Jared has come out and said, you know, some unlucky bounces. This one was on him, and he made a hell of a play to get that pick. That was our 5-Hour Energy High Energy Play of the Game. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. But no, big play from Kamari Lassiter. And as you said a little bit ago, one of five turnovers they had in this game. And Clint and the people, I think we got to see on full display, like, why D'Amico Ryans is one of the, I'd say, top five defensive minds in the business right now.
Whew.
They gave him 10 days to prepare. He did it without Will Anderson. And it ain't just like Clint, like, oh, Jared Goff was making, as you said, like, no, pressure led to many of those intercepts. I'll give you the Hail Mary. All right, that's one he's throwing up. But the other ones, it wasn't like he was just throwing fair catches and they were No, they made plays. That was a hell. The interception was just showed by last year. That was a hell of a play that was made. Denico Autry didn't get a sack for that because it was an interception. It was never hit the ground. But that was going to be a chance for a turnover, some form or fashion.
Yeah.
That because he came around a corner and made that happen. And you could just see, Clint, everything was hard for a team that we have watched. That everything appears easy. They usually are able to do whatever the hell they want to do, and they couldn't. They couldn't run it. I mean, for I would say 85% of the game until they just kind of broke, and then like Jahmyr Gibbs got busy late in the run game, and then all of a sudden St. Brown was nowhere, and then late in the game they found matchups and he got going. But for 3+ quarters. I mean, you never saw the Lions' offense look the way it did. I mean, there wasn't no faults of throwing no balls to tackles. There wasn't no faults of running up. They just were trying. They couldn't get first downs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I got to give D'Amico huge credit for his defensive performance. And they made those plays. Like the Jalen Petrie said it earlier. Clint, they played him on their terms, and Jalen Petrie was made a factor and was not left covering people.
Yeah, look, I thought it was tremendous, man. I thought they were able to the risk that they were willing to take by like playing three big linebackers, Toa Toa.
What an adjustment that was.
Devin White and Azeez Al-Shaair all on the field at the same time versus their 12 personnel with two tight ends in the game. You know, the ability to do that, I mean, you're taking a huge risk. And it did bite them one time for a touchdown over the top where Toa Toa ended up getting beat. But the ability to do that and get home with the pressures and force him to get the ball out and stop the run, like it was not just a great scheme, but it was great execution. These guys, we've said this from the jump. Last year, I think it was the whole team, but now it's definitely obvious in the defense this year where they're just so well coached. That they have the ability to play with all-out instincts and just play fast, and I think that was on display, man. And I think there's a couple of things, like with D'Amico's defense. Like, I would have liked to have seen the way that fourth quarter went had he had all his dudes. Because there's something about you're shorthanded, and forget about the game changing ability of a Will Anderson, and just let's just say a frontline starting caliber defensive player, right? In the rotation, Mario Edwards in the rotation, a healthy Foley Fatakasi, who I know he played, but he ended up getting banged up a little bit. You know,
Kamari Lassiter had to leave with a concussion.
You know, just if you think with what Detroit wants to do. Is really exactly what they did other than get behind as far as it. They want to lean on you and ultimately a lot of times the first half that run game's not going to produce a whole hell of a lot, but late in that third quarter and that fourth quarter, that big offensive line and that run game approach, they know at some point the dam's going to break. And I would have liked to have seen how long that dam would have held up if you had Will Anderson, if you had Mario Edwards, if you had the ability for D'Amico Autry to go inside and outside. You know what I mean? If you had a rotation of guys, and that's no disrespect to the guys that had to play, because Derek Barnett played tremendous.
I mean, they were
great. But if you'd have had your full complement of guys up front to go with that linebacker crew and the way that game plan kind of unfolded.
Yeah, they had some guy number 72 that just showed up.
Yes. He got a good number of snaps, too.
Yeah, he got a good number of snaps where you're saying, like, it might have been some of these other guys that Mario Edwards might have been.
Yeah, well, I would have liked to have seen them be able to rotate guys in more and keep guys fresher and see if that dam would last a little bit longer against that monster that is the Detroit Lions offense. And I'm talking more about their physicality up front and their run game than any other part of it. And it just – That's their game. Their stick is it's going to wear on you in the fourth quarter. You're going to get tired of getting hit. You're going to get tired of trying to tackle these downhill runners, and the dam's going to break. And it just, boy, if it could have just held on a little bit longer in that second half, you know, maybe we could have held on to a 3-point lead there. Not that in any way, shape, or form it's on D'Amico. I do think that obviously the second half adjustments were not great on either side of the football, but.
Yeah, 19-0. Yeah.
Yeah, 19-0. That's it's but it's hard given that you held a team that was averaging 32 points to 26, and really when the game was in your hands, you held them to 23. That typically is a winning effort.
Yeah, 23 with five turnovers.
Yeah, that typically is a winning effort on the defensive side of the football. So I would have liked to have seen them make one more play to finish that thing off and maybe take it to overtime, but they didn't get that done. But yeah, D'Amico's defense was
nice. I know a couple of weeks ago I questioned if this was a good enough defense to carry, you know, to be a team where you could go defense, run game, like that's what we're gonna run the football. We're gonna depend on run the football and being a good defense. Like that can carry us. Now I don't know if that can be possible, but what I do know is D'Amico can clearly put together a game plan that allows them to be able to have a performance like they had against a team like the Lions. Like if you've watched the Lions. Like, it is easy. They couldn't get nothing going at all. I was listening to Detroit radio earlier, and it was like, God, boy, I hate to see what that pass rush would have looked like if Will Anderson was a part of it. So I do see them as a defense. When you see what they did to the Lions, I mean, that's enough. That's a defense that they can really, really lean on. Now, I don't know if the other pieces are good enough to do it, but that's a defense that they can clearly lean on that's better than I thought, right? Like I'm sorry. I mean, hell, we got Jared Goff. This is his worst day. We got Josh Allen. This is his worst day, right? Like, I mean, you know, Jordan Love wasn't particularly great.
Anthony Richardson benched.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, I was trying to get in the line. Like, Jordan Love wasn't his best day. So, I mean, you got to give it. I mean, that's three of the top quarterbacks on your schedule.
You know, I think, Ron, I'm going to tell you, man, offensively, that first half product was championship caliber. The defense was championship caliber. We've seen glimpses of like championship caliber stuff against really good opponents. The defense against Green Bay, you know, we mentioned that. It's the biggest thing for me in this game is – I'm just convinced that the team's not ready. You know what I mean? I'm just the fact that the moment, forget all the other crap, the fact that the moment in the very end when we sit here and watch a Kansas City team that we ain't real sure who the hell they are, man. What are they doing? Who are they going to play this week? Who's healthy? Who's not? And Pat plays terrible one week and then great the next week. But you get to the fourth quarter and it's a one-score game and you leave more than a minute on the clock, your ass is in trouble. You're just in trouble. And that's who you expect C.J. Stroud to be, and it just – that is the part, Ron, because you had it against Green Bay. You know, you had it against these guys. Man, it hurts to realize that I think this squad just ain't got the makeup.
Not yet, maybe.
They ain't got to. Yeah, well, I thought we were beyond the rebuild and we were ready. Like, this squad just doesn't have the makeup that your championship caliber teams have. They just don't have that call it a killer instinct, call it a poise, call it a cool, calm, collected under pressure.
And maybe that's what Detroit was saying last year, as they were up, you know, like the Texans were last night. They were up against the Niners in the NFC. See championship game and they let that game slip away. So maybe it's a deal of them learning it right now, and maybe they just need to take another step. But we thought maybe they had potentially skipped that step and maybe rethinking it. What you got coming up at the four?
We got to talk Bobby Slowick, man. Biggest talking point in Houston, biggest talking point in the city. And I got a feeling there's a lot of folks going to disagree with me on this one right here, but we got to cuss and discuss the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. I'm going to lay this thing out for you nice, nice and juicy, and you can do with it what you may. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.